When, on Sunday afternoons, we've been taking a look at the subject, how to not cultivate rebellion in our children. How to not cultivate rebellion in our children. We went back and started with what the Lord Jesus, or the God Almighty, had given the nation of Israel regarding the dealing of a wayward, wicked children that would not be controlled, would not be held and brought into obedience under the word of God. It's a drastic thing, but that was what the Lord gave them to put away evil from the nation, in the words of our Lord. You and I, we don't live in a day of being in the nation of Israel, nor are we Jews. We are the Lord's house here at Olmsted Baptist Church, as other churches are, but we don't have that national thing like Israel coming to us. But we still have the commands of the Lord to guide and direct and to rear our children. It's still so that foolishness is bound in the heart of a child, but the rod of correction shall drive it far from him. Those things are so. It's there, and we need to realize that as parents. These messages, maybe you're not a parent. Maybe you're young enough that in the future you could be a parent. Well, these messages are for you. Maybe you are a parent and you're in the midst of parenting. These messages are for you. Maybe you're such as myself, I'm always a parent, but that time of having children under our care in that regard of rearing them and teaching them, Miranda and Nathan still live with us, but they're adults. You know, they're grown now. Our time of instructing in that way is past. Now, they are to be subject to my household and the way that I want my household to be run and what they should abide by. That should always be the case when children live with their parents in that respect. But as grandparents, we have an influence upon our grandchildren. Now, we're not their day-to-day parent. We are their grandparents. We've got a responsibility in that regard. Sometimes they stay with us, and we have them for a time. And so we need to continue on and what their parents are doing and guiding them. We need to chasten our children while there is hope, because in time, they will be at that age that there'll be no changing them, no directing them or turning them as a parent can, and they are there in that state, which all ultimately end up in being accountable unto the Lord. As I've said earlier, the parent stands in the shadow of the Lord in regards to accountability. The Lord gives children unto parents, and they're to teach them and direct them and teach them what God says and teach them that they are accountable before the Lord. So when they come to adulthood, they will know that, and that we've had an impact upon their conscience at the very least, and the Word of God would be instilled in them, and the way of God would be instilled in them, that when they arrive at that time when they become adults, they'll have a guide and they'll have a directive. We understand about the working of the Lord and the salvation of souls. It's the Lord that saves, but it's you and I as parents that witness. And we witness to the truth. And so we've taken a look at this aspect of it. We've taken a look at rebellion and stubbornness and what the Lord says about that. It's bad to be rebellious. Never something to brag about. It's as the sin of witchcraft, the Lord told Saul. And stubbornness is as iniquity and idolatry. And so those things we don't need to allow to fester and cultivate in our children, that of stubbornness and that of rebellion. We took a look about Solomon and David and that relationship with us, that look out, parents, it may be that our children will do worse than us in watching our example, watching our lives. Brother David disobeyed very quickly in a matter of just a few days the last five commandments. And then his son Solomon, beloved of the Lord and given the kingdom in just such a royal way and fashion, the most wise man other than our Lord Jesus Christ upon the earth, he disobeyed the Lord over the course of decades, the first five commandments. Which would you say is worse? All of it's sin against God. But tell you what, those first five are just, it's all terrible, isn't it? It's just all really terrible. And so we need to watch out the example that we give and direct toward our children. We took a look also about the honoring of parents. And then the honoring of parents is taught, indeed. But it's something that we need to teach our children, to honor our parents. There needs to be an honor to the father and to the mother. The mother and the father, they always need to be confederate. Now, the Lord says they're one flesh, and so they always need to be confederate regarding the children. I told my children often, you mess with your mother, you're messing with me. It's just like I'm there. It's just like I'm there. And don't mess with your mother, because if you're messing with your mother, you're messing with me. So you better make that decision. If you look to buck her, you're bucking me, and you'll have to deal with me. Needs to be at that absolute confederacy there and that support, the woman being the weaker vessel, and that relationship that's there. In the last couple times, we took a look about training up a child in the way that he should go, Proverbs 22:6. And when he is old, he won't depart from it. And we've all said, we've all asked, but it didn't work. It didn't work. You know, we've delved into this, and Lord help us. I don't come to you as one that's got a handle on this and telling you, you do what I've done. I've got it all figured out, because I don't. It's the Lord that's got it figured out in His Word. And what we need to do is we need to take our Lord's Word and apply it to our lives and obey our Lord in it. Two things. In this, and training up a child in the way that he should go, first, they need to be taught to hearken to our voice, just like the Lord does. The Lord speaks from the beginning, expecting us to do what? Fiddle around and ignore Him? No, to obey Him always. The Lord speaks, we're to hear it, we're to believe it, and we're to go forward in what He has said. It's the way it's been from the days of Adam. The Lord spoke. And the Lord didn't spit and slobber and carry on and hang from heaven and make a big scene about it. He just told Adam what to do and what not to do. And that's the way that it needs to be with our children. We need to train up with voice control. It's the expectation of our Father with us, and it needs to be the expectation of parents to children. But the only way we can do so is to back up what we say. We can't just spit out. I can't spit out a multitude of words and never back them up. Because then what I'm doing is I'm training my child indeed for rebellion, that the authority that's speaking, don't worry about it, because until it gets to this intensity, or I push them this far, or I get the Richter scale up so high, they're not going to do anything anyway. But the Lord doesn't deal with us that way. Oh, our Lord is long-suffering and patient, but what He says He means. And we need to back that up well. The other thing that we took a look at is not to train them up, to train them up and to rear them up without hypocrisy. The goal is, as we've read several times in Proverbs 23:26, my son, give me thine heart and let thine eyes observe my ways. That's what Solomon gave to his children. And that's what we as parents, we need to. The parent looking to follow the Lord and be obedient to the Lord and be a blessing to their children needs to work to get the heart of the child, that they might look to them for the truth of life, and that parent getting that from the Word of God, and the child seeing in the parent that it's for real for them too. If I say to my children, follow the Lord, but I don't follow the Lord, then what are we teaching them? We're setting them up indeed for rebellion, aren't we? If I tell, follow the Lord, speak well, speak right, but I don't follow the Lord and I don't speak well and speak right, I'm teaching my child that really the way of the Lord is vain. And so we need to be careful about that and have understanding about that and beware of hypocrisy. When we are hypocritical, we need to repent of it. We need to just, that's the way it is. When we fail, when we don't meet what is before us to do, we need to repent of it. And then from there, go on and do what's right. Do what's right indeed. May the Lord help us. This afternoon, quickly, and I'm going to try to make it quick, but I want to take a look at the subject, aiding and abetting the sins of our children. Aiding and abetting the sins of our children. Train up a child and the way that he should go, and when he is old, he will not depart from it. Along the line of our subject last time about this, training them up without hypocrisy, we all are, as parents, are faced with this very thing of aiding and abetting. I posed to you last time, you that were here, that indeed there's a spirit. The scripture tells us that we are to try the spirit, see whether they be of God. There is a spirit that is at hand and that can prevail that says, child, you do this good and you do this well, and we will turn our backs so you may sin, or we will allow this sin. There's that spirit is at hand, and we're all subject to it. We might do so knowingly. We might do so ignorantly, or we might do so naively. It can be in any number of those cases. Let's read some scriptures here. Exodus 23, verse number 2. Exodus 23, verse number 2. There's peer pressure out there. And for parents, there's peer pressure. Parents are subject to peer pressure. And then also parents have this challenge to deal with vicariously living, substitutionarily living through their children. And so if we are going to raise and rear and instruct our children after the ways of God, it fits in with this that our children need to see us obeying the same and not ever being party to directing them or pushing them or allowing them to partake in things that are dishonoring to the Lord. Exodus 23, verse number 2, thou shalt not follow a multitude to do evil. Just because everybody's doing it doesn't mean that it's right. Doesn't mean that we should follow after it. Neither shalt thou speak in a cause to decline after many to wrest judgment. We're not to take what the Lord has said in his word that we're to follow or that we're to stay away from or that we're to engage in and take it and twist it and mangle it for the sake of ourselves or our own. We all have that temptation. Especially we are tempted and we are tried indeed when it comes to our children. There's no touchier subject with a parent than that of their children. It's just that way. It's just that way. 1 Titus chapter 5. 1 Timothy rather, chapter 5. 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse number 22. 1 Timothy chapter 5, verse number 22. The apostle instructs the pastor, the preacher, the man that is a pastor, will be a pastor. And also, this comes from the standpoint of the sanction of a church upon a man unto ordination in the ministry, dedicated to the ministry, sanctioned by a church into the ministry. He says here, lay hands suddenly on no man. 1 Timothy 5:22, neither be partaker of other men's sins. We're not to be partaker of other men's sins. In regards to myself being a minister that has been ordained and would be called upon to be in the presbytery for another man that would be ordained, or a church sanctioning the ordination of a man. It's the church that ordains a man, not the men. They move and they work from the standpoint of being men in the ministry to help the church and qualifying that man. But for years previous, the church at hand should be qualifying the man. They've done the work. And the ministers called in and that council, that ministerial council for ordination, they're just kind of wrapping things up and making things clear of what the church has already been doing. But the directive here is don't be a partaker of other men's sins. As parents, we don't need to be a partaker of our children's sins. In 2 Timothy chapter 2, just over here a couple pages, 2 Timothy chapter 2, we see a principle here also in verse number 19. Nevertheless, the foundation of God standeth sure, having this seal, the Lord knoweth them that are his. And let everyone that nameth the name of Christ depart from iniquity. Get away from sin. If you're Christ's, get away from sin. He saved us from that stuff. Verse 20. But in a great house there are not only vessels of gold and of silver, but also of wood and of earth, and some to honor and some to dishonor in the working of the Lord in a house. If a man therefore purge himself from these, pardon me, what are the these? Well, this iniquity, I think, in verse number 19, he shall be a vessel unto honor, sanctified, and meet suitable for the master's use, and prepared unto every good work. From the standpoint of the minister, a minister can't be known for being willfully sinning against the Lord. Otherwise, his testimony is shot. Who would believe a man that's just living like the sinner that he's looking to witness to and preach to? But he's to be a man sanctified indeed. And Brother Timothy is given this by Brother Paul. Flee also youthful lusts. He's a young man. We understand the principle here that there are youthful desires. Youthful desires. As a child begins to grow and becomes more mature, goes through puberty and comes on into adulthood and that, they begin to learn about life. They begin to learn about things about life. And the beauty of the Word of God is that it speaks to everyone right where they're at in their age group. It's a wonderful thing about the Scripture that our Lord has given us in the English language. But as they get older and they come into adulthood, they begin to learn about life. And there's many things that have not been known about, that are known about, that become new. And in that, always the parents are, I tell you often, we need to be training our children for what's next. We don't need to be training them for what's next on down the road, but for what's next, what's near next. We need to be having that outlook and bringing them to maturity. Do you do things for your children now that you did for them 10 years ago, long time ago? Or are you doing things for them now and that allowing them to take over in the things that they should be doing and then teaching them for what's next? We need to bring our children to maturity. You and I might not be around. It could be that the Lord would take us out of here. And for the age that our children are, it's a terrible thing for a parent to think of a parent going on to the other side while a child is young. These two little girls, 6 and 7 years old, we need to pray for them. They will carry that with them about the death of their mother for their lives and the way that that was, the way that that has been. But we need to be training our children for what's next. We need to be bringing them along. And as they learn about life, there's that lack of maturity yet, but that knowledge about things of life. And you know what? In that youth, they can take and get involved with some things that will compromise them, that will hurt them, that will tear down and destroy part of the future for them. Anybody that's honest knows that that's so. And so the apostle tells the young minister here, flee also youthful lust, but because the reason so is because they exist. But follow righteousness, faith, charity, peace with them that call on the Lord out of a pure heart. We also want to take a look at Matthew chapter 10. Take a look at Matthew chapter 10. The Lord Jesus here preaching. It's beyond the Sermon on the Mount. It said the Lord preaching as he's going amongst the cities there in Galilee and down to Judea and in time Samaria. We see him preaching in this occasion in Matthew chapter 10, verse number 34. Matthew 10, 34. Think not that I am come to send peace on earth. I came not to send peace, but a sword. For I am come to set a man at variance against his father. That's the son against the father. And the daughter against her mother. That's the daughter and the mother. And this variance is also going to be in the daughter-in-law against her mother-in-law. And a man's foes shall be they of his own household. He that loveth father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. The Lord's not saying for us to hate our parents, but our Lord is indeed telling us to put him first. To put him first. If the counsel of our parents doesn't jive with what the Lord wants us to do in our lives, we need to follow the Lord. We need to honor our parents in every way that we can, every way that we can help them and support them, especially in their older years. We need to do all that we can. Some parents will allow it. Some situations, it's just impossible. But where it can be done, parents need to be honored. And they need to be honored by their children. But the Lord says, if you and I love our parents more than we love him, we're not worthy of him. That's what Jesus has said. What's it go on to say? He that loveth son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. That's what the Lord Jesus said. I love my children, and I thank the Lord for them. But if I if I take what God has given us and for their sakes and what they want to do, take and bend and twist and ignore what God has said, I'm not worthy of the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, that's a tall order, but it's the truth. It's the truth. And so we need to know what our Lord says, and we need to follow what our Lord says and obey Him in it. He that loveth father or mother more than me is not worthy of me. He that loveth son or daughter more than me is not worthy of me. And he that taketh not his cross and followeth after me is not worthy of me. Verse 39, he that findeth his life shall lose it, and he that loseth his life for my sake shall find it. And so we love our children. They are our own flesh. But we need to obey our Lord first, parents. Realize, many a parent has said, if I don't give them what they want, I will lose them. Many a parent has said that. If I don't give my children what they want, I will lose them. If you and I take our children and we lead them in an evil, hypocritical, contrary to the Word of God way, we will indeed lose them. When the Son of Man cometh, will He find faith on the earth? This is a subject about faith in the Lord, even regarding our children. It's very difficult. It's very sobering. But it is the truth. So in regards to this, being a spirit at hand that can prevail, that we are subject to, where we would say to our children, do good and do this right, and your parents will turn our backs so you may sin over here, or we'll allow this sin, and that can happen knowingly, it can happen ignorantly or naively. We want to turn over here to Ephesians chapter 5 and take a look at what the Word of God says here. Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5. Ephesians chapter 5, the family is being dealt with here. And the family is being dealt with in regards to, and things of life are being dealt with in regards to our position before the Lord. Talking about self and then segueing into the family and the order in the family. What we're interested to hear this afternoon is these first 21 verses. And so let's go through here very quickly and see what the Scripture says. The apostle writes to the church at Ephesus there, worshipers, previous worshipers of Diana, be ye therefore followers of God as dear children. That's the relationship. Dear children that want to obey the Father. They're listening and hanging on the Father's word, and whatever the Father says, that's what they want to do. Walk in love. Agape love, love with legs on it. Not just love, love of speech, but love that leads to action. As Christ also hath loved us, because we understand about the Lord's action, don't we? He died for us. We saw that again this morning. And hath given himself for us an offering and sacrifice to God for a sweet-smelling savor. Verse number 3, but fornication and uncleanness or covetousness, let it not be once named among you as becometh saints or in the households of the saints. Let it not be named there. Let it not be known there that our children living in our homes would be fornicators, would be idolaters, would be wayward and wicked in this way. Not only for ourselves, or for those of our own household or of our own flesh, our children, let it not be that that would be the case amongst them. Verse number 4, neither filthiness, nor foolish talking, nor jesting, which are not convenient, but rather giving of thanks. Let that be known in this household and among the saints. Verse 5, for this we know, that no whoremonger, nor unclean person, nor a covetous man who is an idolater hath any inheritance in the kingdom of Christ and of God. So in parallel to two verses previous, verse number 3, he brings that down to one that's practicing these things, and one that practices these sins is not going to enter into the kingdom of heaven. A practicer of wickedness is not going to enter into the kingdom of heaven. And a parent here being challenged by their child to want to pursue after these things, May it not be that we would aid and abet our children to be wicked in these public ways, in these wicked, sinful ways. The subject is, again, aiding and abetting the sins of our children. Verse number 6, let no man deceive you with vain words. Because there are a lot of empty words where people would say, well, I did it. I can't say anything against it. It's a new day. It's not 1825 anymore. All kinds of stuff. You know, we've heard it all. Where we reason, well, those things are just natural. There's all kinds of vain philosophy and vain words out there. But the thing is, whatever the Word of God doesn't say, that's the vain stuff. What the Word of God says is the stuff with substance and with future and with obedience and directive from our Lord. Don't be deceived with vain words, because they abound. The voices out here speaking to parents and to children are many, but they are vain. For because of these things cometh the wrath of God upon the children of disobedience. You know, whatever we allow our children to do in our households, understand if it's something wicked and sinful, the wrath of God is going to come out upon folks for those things. Unrepentant sinners that are guilty of that transgression against the Lord, and may we not be deceived. Verse number 7, be ye not therefore partakers with them. That's a key verse. Key verse for us in our subject. We think about the world and not being a partaker with the world in their sins. But we don't need to be, as the children of God and parents, grandparents, aunts and uncles, we don't need to be partakers of our children's sins and the desires, the youthful lusts that they're subject to have either. We don't need to be an enabler. We need to guard against that always. Be not ye therefore partakers with them. If you and I knew that our children would take money that we would give them, for example, and immediately go buy alcohol or drugs, would you give them the money? If you knew that that's what they were going to do, would you give them the money? We better not. We better not. If we know that that's what they're going to do with the provision that we give them and what we're looking to help them to get started in life or in their young lives while they're in our homes, if we know they're going to take that and they're going to use that for wickedness, we need to watch out. Because you know what we're doing? If we do that, we're sending a message. We're sending a message, I wouldn't do it for anybody else, but I'll do it for you. I'll help you disobey God. We need to look at it the way the Lord looks at it. May we guard not to be a partaker or enabler in our children's potential evil deeds. Now, I'm not painting a picture that all children are bent to these things, but the thing is, the temptation is there for our children just like it is for us. The same world that's wailing on us is wailing on them too. And the thing is, maybe they're saved, maybe they're not saved. And if they're saved, maybe they're youthful in being saved. And so they're young. They need restraint. They need guidance. They need that help. Maybe they're unsaved. They need that restraint. They need that guidance. They need that standard that's set that here you will not go there. You won't do this here. We're not going to help you do this. We've got to be on the watch, Carol. No, watch out. Like I said, parenting is 100% of the time job. And it's not a thing of developing suspicion within parents. It's not that we want to be suspicious, but we've got to be sober. Sober and understanding about what's going on. There's a trust that parents want to have for their children. But sometimes there's a trust that children don't need to have from their parents. And we want to cultivate them and give them responsibility and give them privilege as they grow up and are able to handle it. But if they get to a point that they can't handle it, we need to pull back. See, we need to train them up in the way that they should go, not a facade of the way that they should go. Hear what I'm saying? If the training up is just speech, and us not using the abilities that we have as their parent, especially with children in our home, then we're not sending the same message, are we? with our mouths and what we back up. The way of the Lord and the obedience of the Lord needs to be a serious business. We don't. May we guard to be not a partaker or enabler of their evil deeds. Many parents in our day say there is nothing that they can do regarding their teenage or older children. There's nothing I can do. There's nothing you can do. I tell you what, there's always something. When we hold the finances, we hold the key. Amen? And when we're footing the bill, when we're providing the vehicle, when we're providing the money, when we're providing the place to live and stay, we've got control if we will use it. But remember back there, let not, as they are disciplined, let not thy soul spare for his crying. Well, let not thy soul spare for his or her wrath either. Sometimes my children have just been angry at me. But you know what? It's okay. They'll get over it. Because they need to do what's right. Let not thy soul spare for their pouting. Let not thy soul spare for their guilt trip. We're not their friends. We're their parents. And their souls, if you will, that instruction, that initial instruction of their souls is in our hands. And we don't need to be found hypocrites toward them. We need to be found true. Mama and Daddy stand for what God says. And I know full well not to even think about going there because they're not going to let me do that. As one of their friends would whisper to them about getting off into some meanness. When we own the real estate and the things, we own a key to not enabling them. And we're responsible for the Lord for it. Yes, even if they're adults living in our household, that's the responsibility that we have. That's a responsibility that we have. And I understand about taking a child, as I mentioned earlier, about allowing them to gain responsibility and giving them responsibility and respect and trust in things when they've proven themselves in them. But to take a young person, to take a child and just throw things at them and turn them loose, it's unwise. It's unwise. It's unwise indeed. Verse number 10, he says, be not partakers with them in verse number 7. Verse number 8, rather, for ye sometimes were darkness, but are now light in the Lord. Walk as children of the light, parents, even us as parents. For the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness and righteousness and truth. That's what we need to teach them, isn't it? The fruit of the Spirit. Truth. Truth. The carnal man doesn't like truth. But that's what all flesh, all souls need is the truth. Amen? And all this proving what is acceptable unto the Lord. And have no fellowship. Another key verse here. Might want to highlight this one, mark this one. Have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness. That means don't be visiting with that. No fellowship. No party to it. No fellowship with it. Because the thing, if we tell our children, follow the Lord, honey. Be obedient to the Lord in every way. And then they say, well, I want to go do so and so. Well, we don't take off our clothes that way. We don't go to those kind of places. We don't want you to be in that kind of situation with other young people. We tell them the truth that guards them, guards their lives, guard their souls, rather than telling them to follow the Lord and then giving them opportunity to fall prey to those youthful lusts. Have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness. What's it say? But rather reprove them. Son, that's not good. And we're not going to go there. You can't do that. You can't go there. Hun, daughter, you can't do that. Because that's against the Lord. That's setting yourself up to be compromised. You cannot go there. You cannot do that. You cannot follow in this thing. In just very general terms. To have some understanding, not have fellowship with these things, but rather be a reprover of them. For it is a shame even to speak of those things which are done of them in secret of the world. And that can be with young people that are turned loose and allowed to follow after their flesh in the way of the world. But all things that are reproved are made manifest by the light. That's what we need to be shining, is the light. For whatsoever doth make manifest is light. What's a good source of light? What's the source of light? The good word of God. If something is tending towards fornication, if something can result in fornication, for example, then don't even get started down that road. Don't even open that door for our children, as an example. If something starts down the road of gambling, don't even open that door and even get started on going that direction, for example. You can fill in the blank for anything else that you want to consider there. Verse number 13. The things that are reproved are made manifest by the light, for whatsoever doth make manifest is light. It tells it for the ugly truth that it is, the potential for it. Wherefore, the Lord saith, awake thou that sleepest. Another key verse for us parents. And arise from the dead, and Christ shall give thee light, not only in life, but in parenting too. Were you young? Were you young? It was a long time ago. It's getting farther away by the day. Do you remember what you thought about? Do you remember what you pursued? Do you remember what you desired after and lusted after, considered about, were tempted by? You remember that? Your children are no different. Parents are tempted to get to a point to where they think, was that way with me, but I don't think it's that way with them. Sometimes parents have a hard time seeing their children at 15, 16, 17, 18 year old and still thinking about them being 8. I love my mother. She's not here this afternoon. She might hear this on the recording. My mother still thinks I'm 12. And she loves me. I'm 53 years old. She still thinks I'm 12. The thing is our children are just like us because they're from us. They're subject to the same temptations. The thing is maybe that what a blessing it would be that the Lord would show us some things that we could guard them and shield them appropriately in their lives and guide them and instruct them in the right way, always showing them what the Word of God says for what they're looking to face next. And maybe we can save them some of the junk and some of the grief that we messed around in and got messed up with and such as that. Save them some guilt for being involved with things that they shouldn't be involved with. Our children are not different from us. Our children, as much as we want them to be better than us, and understand how I'm saying that, they are sinners just like us. They're subject to the same temptations. And so we've got to have a sober outlook about them. Again, not a spirit of distrust, not a spirit of suspicion, but a spirit of soberness, understanding just the way it is. Why? Because we love them. Why has the Lord told us the truth? Because He loves us. Amen? We ought to tell our children the truth too, as we've read here in the Scripture, shouldn't we? And what's time, what's appropriate for their age. We need to awake out of sleep as parents and regarding the issues relative to our children and arise from the dead. Christ will give us light in regarding to these things. Verse number 15, see then that thou walk circumspectly in regards to dealing with our children, not as fools, but as wise. Don't be foolish. The world is full of foolishness, isn't it? And the world is also full of heartbreak. True? I mean, true. The world is full of heartbreak, is full of guilt. Sin never paid off continually and blessedly, did it? It appealed to the flesh for a time, but sin always says, come on back. Come on back. Come on back farther. Come on back longer. Because why? This flesh is never satisfied with sin. We can't get enough of it. We always want more. And not to personify sin, but sin is that great and that wicked and that effective upon this old carnal flesh that sin just keeps saying, come on back. Come on back. Because the fun time lasts for a little while, but then it goes away. Because our flesh wants it again. Why is it that people start with certain kind of drugs and end up taking other drugs and then finally taking drugs maybe that even kill them? Because the high is just not like the high when it started. And they seek others and they seek more. And they seek even that which is deadly. They lose sight of the way things are. Verse number 16, redeeming the time because the days are evil. We must be about this when we have the opportunity. Once our children are grown, we don't have the impact and the effect like we do when they're little. Wherefore be ye not unwise But understanding what the will of the Lord is. Lord, how should I raise and rear my children? Lord, what do you say? Lord, open my eyes to what I need to be on the lookout for. And be not drunk with wine, whereas in excess. Don't be filled with the things of this world. Don't be filled with excess yourself, but be filled with the Spirit of God. Indeed. Speaking to yourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing, making melody in your heart to the Lord. Do your children know that the Lord is really, really important to you? Do they know? Do they see that in your life? If we say that He is, but they don't see it in our lives, then we're found hypocrites. But if they see that Dad wants to do always what the Lord wants done, wouldn't that be a great testimony for your children to say on the day that they buried you? Mama always wanted to do what God said, and a lot of times I didn't get to do what I wanted to do because that's what she said that we should obey, and that's what Dad said that we should obey and walk in. Because God said it. Because God said it. Making melody in your heart to the Lord, verse number 20, giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ, submitting yourselves one to another in the fear of God. Submission. In regards to this fleeing youthful lust, I know that the time is long. I want you to consider a few things here before we close. Flee also youthful lust. Youthful lust. We need to guard as parents unchaperoned gatherings of young people that are on the verge of adulthood. Or even adult in body. Don't think that they will take care of themselves. Because as they learn about life, and they learn about adulthood, and they come into adulthood, they cannot be unchaperoned. You got to remember how you were when you were that age. You got to think about that. We got to know about that. Unchaperoned gatherings of young people. They need to be washed out. Do you realize that people, young people, high school graduating age, take trips together? Can you imagine that? They take trips together. Young people getting in a car or a van and taking off to Florida or Alabama or the Carolinas without a chaperone. That's an unwise parent. It's an unwise parent to finance it. It's an unwise parent to allow it. And the thing is, brothers and sisters, the world screams this at us. What just passed? Spring break. Spring break, not only all over the land, but you go down from coast to coast on the coast of our country in the United States. Spring break is one of the most debauched affairs that there is in our country, with young people being sent down there unchaperoned and turned loose to follow after those youthful lusts. And lives are being ruined. Relationships of marriage and that are being affected and being marred and being dealt with. You know what? There's children being killed too. Because there's many women that become pregnant, and it's inconvenient, and they're very young, and they kill their babies. Another thing that I would have you consider is this having of boyfriends and girlfriends. Parents, we can tease young people, and I would dare say avoid that. Avoid teasing people about boyfriends and girlfriends. I don't even recommend that there be this of young people having boyfriends and girlfriends. But look what happens. Johnny gets a girlfriend when he's 12, and then they get mad at each other because he won't share his gum with her, and so they break up. And then later on at 13, he gets Sally, and she becomes his steady and all that. But then they get mad at each other because he broke her pencil. But then they start getting up in teenage years and all that. And, you know, they start realizing, hey, you're different, and I like the way you're different. And so then they go together, and then they maybe have holding hands and intimate putting an arm around it, and he likes that and she likes that, and things start getting revved up in the body that shouldn't even be thinking. Men, you don't need to have anything to do with a girl until you can marry her and support her. Just forget about it. But you know what? That having girlfriends and boyfriends, have a girlfriend, boyfriend, break up, do that for about 5-6 years to where you get to adulthood, sets you right up for divorce. Sets you right up for divorce because the pattern's the same. I took them when I liked them, and when I didn't get any gum, I let them go. And then when they get older, I didn't like the way he looked or the way his breath smelled or the way he treats me or she treats me or whatever, and they're set up for divorce when they get old. It's a pattern that gets instilled. Marriage and relationship between men and women is sacred by God. And so I'll tell you what, be friends and be acquaintances, but don't be romantic until you're of an age, men, that you can support the woman that you have an interest in. And then you go about that and pursuing her in a right, honorable, godly way. This whole thing of dating is crazy. It is crazy. I tell you, it's crazy. We need to hold to courtship. Where the visiting is done in public. Where it's done in the presence of the family. See, the world says, get to know one another physically, and if there's time, see how you are emotionally together, and then when it all happens and you do get married, maybe you will, maybe you won't, then we'll see how we're doing spiritually. Isn't that the way the world does it? The Lord says, find out spiritually first, and keep your hands off each other. That's what the Lord says. You say, oh, Brother Jim, that's so yesterday. I tell you what, our Lord's the same. Our Lord hadn't changed. Dances. Dances, the prom. We just had a bunch of that going on, didn't we, about the prom. Sleepovers, a fellow sleeping over with his girlfriend or vice versa. You realize that happens? There's parents that think that that's just a fine thing and a normal thing to do, is just have a sleepover of the boyfriend or the girlfriend. What's happening is that it may be that parents are saying, well, I did it myself, I can't say no to them. Or they're saying, well, I can't do anything with them, I can't tell them what to do, they're too old. They feel and believe that they've lost the fight. What's happening is here, brothers and sisters, is there's opportunity that's being provided and being supported for behavior that is reserved for marriage. You don't need to touch a woman. Men, ladies, you don't need a woman to touch or a man to touch you, because that gets things going in the body that don't need to be get going in the body until there's marriage at hand. God's made that. You know that relationship between a man and a woman was created in the Garden of Eden on the other side of sin? It's a holy thing. It's a right thing, but it has its right place. And you know what, parents? We don't need to be supporting dances, going to dances. Isn't it something? Parents will be there, and the fellow will come over, and he's all dudeed up in his tux or whatever, or suit. They're taking pictures. They got corsages. They've got her in her dress, which the thing is, pretty now means naked. And they're taking pictures of all that, and the parents are all smiling, everything, sending their daughter half naked off with a man to where they won't see him for 6, 8, 10 hours. It's madness. And if we tell our children, follow the Lord, be obedient to the Lord, follow His word, and He will help you, and He will take care of you and honor you, but then we help them engage in all this thing reserved for marriage, what do we expect? What do we expect? We support our children to go to a place to take off their clothes for whatever the reason is. And they're tempted, just as it is with us and as it is with every man and woman, to dabble in and to be investigative about those youthful lusts. As parents, we don't need to be providing opportunity or supporting any behavior that is reserved for marriage in our children. In 1 Corinthians chapter 7, I want you to turn here and read it for yourself. Please do so. 1 Corinthians chapter 7. Here's what God says. Now concerning the things whereof you wrote unto me, it is good for a man not to touch a woman. Why? Because young men, middle-aged men, older men, when they touch a woman, they want to keep on touching a woman. That's the way we're designed. To stay away from it. Young people, save yourselves for your spouse. Save yourselves for your husband or for your wife. Save yourself for who the Lord has for you. Put those things away over there to the side to be reserved for a blessed time of holy matrimony before the Lord. Don't be dabbling in it. Don't be experimenting in it. He says here, nevertheless, to avoid fornication, because that's the result of a man touching a woman in time, let every man have his own wife, and let every woman have her own husband. Let the husband render unto the wife due benevolence in this intimacy, and likewise also the wife unto the husband. And the wife hath not power over her own body. Have you ever seen that in young people? Young people. They've just broke into adulthood. And it's really a quandary. They have a boyfriend or a girlfriend. And I think it's especially so with women. It can be so with men, but it's especially so with women. She doesn't want anybody touching him, looking at him, or having anything to do with him. And when he has gone, they have engaged in things reserved for marriage or near to that. Now, when he takes off and leaves, she is very broken. You ever seen that in anybody's life? You know why? That's reserved for marriage. That's not reserved to be experimented with, to be tested out, to be dabbled with. Because it's in us, built that way. And so, and the Lord warns us that. He said, the wife hath not power over her own body, but the husband. And likewise, the husband hath not power over his own body, but the wife. Defraud ye not the other, except it be with consent for a time, that may give yourselves a fasting and prayer and come together again, that Satan tempt you not for your incontinency. We've seen that. We've seen that in young people because they've embarked upon things reserved for marriage, and it's shattered them. It's broken them because the faithfulness that's supposed to be there only in marriage has not been in there outside of marriage. And we've got a whole world of broken hearts indeed. We don't need to be a party to providing an opportunity for experimentation and discovery. These things in our day, by some, like what I mentioned about prom and dances and sending them off kind of like you're having a wedding ceremony, is considered a rite of passage. But what does Proverbs 6:27 say? Can a man take fire in his bosom and his clothes not be burned? Sure can't. You can't get the body revved up and be able to control it. Can one go upon hot coals and his feet not be burned? Brothers and sisters, listen. Could it be that there's members of one of the Lord's churches that will allow their children to even go so far to have their lover live with them in the parents' house? If so, they're feeding the flesh into destruction. Things start, but where will they end? Hebrews 13:4, marriage is honorable in all, and the bed undefiled, but whoremongers and adulterers God will judge. And listen to this. Hosea 4:11, whoredom and wine and new wine take away the heart. The Lord can save whoremongers and fornicators indeed. He's done it. He's done it time and again. But promoting and supporting and helping our children to go and flirt around with those youthful desires and things that they learn about life and such as that, I mean, that's one case of many cases that and things that we can deal with, but it's one that's prevalent in our day. We're feeding the flesh into destruction. And we're not being a sober, right, true witness of the good things of God in their lives. And wouldn't it not follow course that they wouldn't give us their heart when we tell them one thing and finance them and allow them in another? May the Lord help us. May the Lord help us. Difficult messages, but true. True indeed. May the Lord help us as parents. Values and character are caught, not taught. And may the Lord help us that we teach and obey the right things, stand in the right things of the Lord before our children. If you're here and you're not saved, this hadn't been a message to you regarding your soul and the need of your soul, but the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son, the King of Glory, came and became a man some 2,000 years ago. He might live a perfect life, and indeed he did, the one that's sinless. He's never even had the thought of sin. He became a man and lived a perfect life, and then gave his life, gave his soul, poured out his blood, gave his body as a sacrifice on the cross of Calvary some 2,000 years ago. He did so for sinners like you and me. We who have no hope in ourselves and in this world, we have hope in the Lord Jesus Christ. Repent of your sins and believe and trust in Him. He is the way. What do you think Jesus would do in regards to these things that we have preached? He'd follow what the good Word of God says, wouldn't he? May the Lord help us. He's the way, the truth. Hear that? He's the truth. And that's what our children need. And He's the life. May God help us as parents that we not show or not be found as one that mocks about our Savior that we claim and that we say has saved our souls, but may our witness of our Lord Jesus be true unto them, and they see it in our lives. May our Lord help us.